Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Raising Nick Hanley. I am your host, Matt Thomas, alongside co-host
Lisa Bryan
and Nick Hanley.
Nick Hanley.
We'll jump right in this time. We've got a lot of games to go over.
We do. Five of them. Plus the two for next week. So yeah. Seven games to talk about.
First we'll go to Donkey Kong Jr.
Okay.
What you got to say about Donkey Kong Jr.?
I think of the five games that I played this week, this one was the one I enjoyed the least.
Awesome.
I don't know what I was expecting going into it, but it wasn't this. The controls were really... I wasn't digging the controls.
Okay.
I don't know. I guess it just took me... It felt kind of weird to me. It was really hard to dodge stuff. It took me a little while to figure out you can't just drop down to the platforms below you. You have to actually climb down to them.
Right.
Which makes it a lot harder to get out of the way of those crocodile things.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is one of the ones that I was playing this week that I put it on mute because I didn't want to hear the music anymore.
Yeah.
And I don't know. A lot of games, I just didn't feel excited to make it to the end of a level.
Okay. So you didn't feel like you accomplished anything?
Right. If that kind of makes sense. Like, there wasn't like some fanfare of you beating a level. Congratulations. Here's your next level. It was kind of just okay, next.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely an older, it's more in the old arcade Pitfall Donkey Kong style where it's just like, here you go, keep going.
Yeah, it definitely did feel
you have more points now.
Style in the sense that it played a lot like it was just waiting for me to put more coins in to keep going, and it was just going to let me keep going until I ran out of coins and went home.
Mm-hmm.
But I was already at home and wasn't putting coins in, so.
Your mom wasn't there to say, all right, Nick, it's time to go home now.
Right, exactly. I don't know, and then climbing from vine to vine was kind of, it felt awkward to me for some reason.
Okay.
It was, yeah. Like, it was two button pushes to get over there, but it didn't. I don't know. I've played other games that were similar style to this, where mm-hmm. you just hop to the next one, and that felt more natural.
Okay.
I guess it kind of makes sense to be able to go between the two and climb up, because there's power-ups and point stuff that you can get that are in between them. So, I guess that makes sense. I don't know. It's just, it wasn't one of my favorite games.
Okay. You thought the music was awful.
Yeah,
you had that off after
a
while.
Yeah, I turned off the music.
Gameplay just wasn't that exciting.
No, yeah, I guess that's the best way to say it. It just wasn't a very exciting game to play.
All right, so your score for Donkey Kong Jr.
Donkey Kong Jr. I gave a 55.
Okay, now, what's the highest score you've given a bad game?
50 for Bible Adventures.
Okay, wow, so we're getting close to Bible Adventures territory.
Well, I mean,
just a hair above.
They kind of both had the same kind of feel of, it's just a silly little game that you play to kill some time. Like, it wasn't like breakthrough gaming or anything.
Right.
It was just a reskin of an old game anyway.
Yeah. It's.
Yeah.
All right. Awesome. No, this is interesting. So we'll go to Paperboy.
Okay. Paperboy, I thought it was a fun game. I think, yeah, obviously it would take some time to perfect the targeting.
Right.
More time than I gave it. it was weird to me that the playable area of the screen was only about an eighth of the actual screen.
Right.
Like the street that you're driving on is crammed off in the corner.
You can go up on the sidewalk and stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just seemed like the houses were taking up an awful lot of screen real estate.
And I believe you can ride off into some of the lawns, but then you risk hitting, like, the fence and all that stuff.
Like flamingos and a dude with his lawnmower.
Yeah. Or then the Grim Reaper.
For some reason.
It's just normal people doing normal things that'll kill you for some reason, and then the Grim Reaper.
And then just, like...
like a juggler.
A gate or grate on the side of the road will just knock you over.
Right. I remember one point, like, I hit a car... And then it kept restarting me, like, right behind that car. So I didn't have, as soon as I started, I was hitting the car again. I didn't have time to dodge.
You were just trapped in a time loop that was
exactly.
Damned you.
Exactly,
yeah.
So that was a little frustrating. Like, I think future games got it right, where if you get hit with something, it kind of starts you either back a few seconds or forward a few seconds, or gives you kind of an invisibility for...
Right.
Yeah. Like invincibility is huge. Yeah.
Yeah, that temporary invincibility.
Which I didn't really do that in Paperboy, so it was a lot easier to get stuck in a loop.
Okay.
Screw you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was a fun game. It seems like a lot of these games were ports from arcade times, or not necessarily ports, but
yeah,
inspired it, more by arcades.
I'm not 100% sure about Paperboy, but if it's before Super Mario Brothers, a lot of the games were kind of more aimless and high score oriented.
Right,
like all the Atari games are like that. They're all about score and there's no like beating a game really.
Yeah, it definitely seems like Paperboy would be a fun game to. Kind of have a competition going amongst your group of friends.
Yeah.
To see who could have the highest score.
Yeah.
Yeah, Paperboy was an Atari port.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. It feels like an Atari game.
Yeah. So, yeah, it definitely seems like it would have been... It's not as much fun to play solo.
Right.
I think a lot of the fun in several of these games are competing amongst your friends to see who can...
Right.
I believe that's how it usually went with me and my brother, to see who could get the higher score.
Yeah. I believe there is a two-player mode on Paperboy, isn't there?
I can't remember. There's also Super Paperboy, which... It's not helping my ability to, like, talk about it, because I'm going, like, wait, maybe that was just in Super Paperboy.
But I think it was a two-player mode, but it seemed like it was probably just a...
A turn-taking.
Turn-taking, see who can score higher.
Yeah, I think so.
But yeah, so I gave Paperboy 65.
Okay,
65. Then we will go to Excitebike.
Excitebike.
Did you get excited about bikes?
I did not get excited. I mean, it was fine. I definitely like the music a lot better than Donkey Kong Jr.'s music.
Is that gonna? I assume that's gonna be a running theme.
Yes.
Every review from here on, well, I definitely like the music more than Donkey Kong Jr.
Correct. Excitebike. It was fun. It was really just a very basic game.
Yeah.
It's another one. It's definitely another one where the fun of the game is. Definitely competing against your friends to see who can get the fastest times and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed that there was a turbo, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, yeah, okay. And then it runs up the temperature of your bike.
Yeah.
Higher.
And you'll burn out, I think, if it...
Yeah, it'll overheat.
Yeah.
It was too high.
I don't know, maybe it didn't seem like the turbo really...
Helped.
was much of a turbo. And then it took a long time to cool back down after using a turbo. So I don't know how effective that actually was. Maybe the more I played it, the more strategy I would have figured out on...
Yeah, I think you want to, like, turbo at certain points, like jumps and stuff, to...
Oh, maybe.
Get a longer jump for a faster time. I don't think it's, like,
just for a straightaway.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay.
You would do a slight turbo just before a ramp.
But that makes sense, yeah.
It's been a while since I played this.
That actually makes a lot more sense. Since he's more for...
Physics.
More for ramping than just speed. Okay. Interesting.
Now, this probably just... I mean, there's no way it could have the same impact on you at this point in time, but the create a track made it... is pretty much the reason that game's famous.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
because it's an NES game.
Or one of the only ones...
I can't think of any other NES game that has anything close to a level editor.
Okay.
No.
Or
even a Super Nintendo game.
Yeah, seriously.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, level editors are never really a big draw for me.
Okay.
When it comes to gaming. I'm never like, oh, yeah, I get to create my own levels.
I'm the same way.
Because when that kind of stuff comes up, I'm usually just like, all right, just throw a bunch of crap out there and see what happens.
Well, I was watching you build your level. Yeah. And that's basically what you did. You're just like, J, K, J, K, L, B, C. All right.
Yeah.
That's my level.
Yeah, I mean, considering it's definitely one of the first level editing games, it... it's pretty impressive. Looking back on it now from modern day level editing stuff, there's a lot of improvements that it could make. Like, everything is just letters. You kind of have to just guess what it is until you figure it out. But,
right.
Yeah. Like, a lot of places now when it's selected, it'll be like blinking or something, and then you'll place it.
Right.
That would have been nice to have, a nice feature.
True. Probably a lesson learned by someone making levels in Excitebike, going like, we need some way to let people know what the fuck these things are.
Some way of showing what J is.
Right.
But yeah, it kind of, to me, kind of had the feel of, it's another one of those games that I feel like it was, designed by programmers rather than designers.
Okay.
Just the way the UI is put together. I think that came up with, what was it, DuckTales?
Yeah.
Was the last time I saw mentioned that?
Yeah, I think so. There's just a lot going on, and you don't know what all of it...
Exactly, yeah. And, yeah, I mean, considering it was one of the first level editing ones, it probably would have been good to have a little bit of a tutorial screen pop up.
Right.
Just because kids don't, I don't know, maybe.
Yeah, it's tough because I do remember, like, part of buying an NES game was, like, opening up and reading the little booklet.
That's true. Yeah, all these games that I'm playing didn't come with the manual.
Right.
Which I'm sure in the manual there was a whole chapter of A is this bump.
Right.
B is this bump.
It's probably a whole chart.
Yeah, they probably show all of it.
If you put J, you should follow it by a landing ramp, which is K. That kind of stuff.
Like, yeah.
I'm sure that was all covered in there. So yeah, I mean, it was a fun game. It's definitely another one where the fun of the game is
playing with friends,
creating tracks and sharing them amongst your friends, that kind of stuff.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So, what's your score for Excitebike?
Excitebike, I gave a 59.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so then we'll move into Dr. Mario.
Okay. Dr. Mario was fun. I realized after we started playing that I think that's one of the few games that I actually have played before.
Oh, okay.
Is there...
It's been ported.
They've probably ported it to a lot of
different. It was on SNES in a bundle with Tetris. Okay. It was on N64.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I've played the Super Mario version of it before.
And there's a Wii version, yeah. The one my mom played was the Super Mario, it was Dr. Mario Tetris port, and she would just pick the Dr. Mario.
Right.
Right.
Side.
But yeah, I mean, it's basically just another reimagining of Tetris.
Right.
Tetris style game. It was pretty fun though. Like even me having some experience on it, like it's still really easy to figure out what to do.
Right. It's
it's color matching. When at the end of the day,
line up four yellows and you get rid of the yellow virus.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of stuff. It was a really fun game though.
Now, did you get a chance to do two player with that one?
No, we didn't do two player with this one.
Okay.
But I guess there's different things you can do in two-player?
Well, the main thing is, in two-player, if you get it so that two rows are eliminated at the same time, like, if you set it up so, like, when the yellows disappear, the red side of it, like, falls down and blasts another row.
Yeah.
It sends two balls to just fall on the other player's screen, and they won't necessarily match or anything. It'll just... You
like
know,
a yellow will drop on a blue.
And you'll be like, God damn. Or it might help. It might land on a yellow. And you're like, hot, thanks. And
it's a
like,
risk-reward type situation.
And then you can do that up to four. So if you get something, a chain reaction where it's like, broom, 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 then four balls will just come dropping down on their screen.
Combos are pretty important.
Yeah, it becomes... Combos become a big deal. And it's funny because when I play one player, since I've played two player more... Like, I find myself setting up combos. I'm like, why? I'm just making this harder on myself. I just need to get rid of the viruses in one-player mode.
Now, from what I remember, I feel like there were, like, power-ups or something in Super Mario or Super Nintendo version of it.
I don't think so.
I don't recall power-ups ever.
Special blocks or something?
Maybe. In 64 there was.
Maybe
really?
Okay. Yeah. But
maybe
there wasn't...
I don't remember there being super power-ups in that one either.
There's something different about 64 than there was from...
All I know is my mom played the 64 one, and in that you can turn on the shadows of the pill, so it'll show you where it's going to land at the bottom.
Oh, yeah.
So there's like a little shadow of the pill, and my mom accidentally turned it on and started going, what is this? Turn it off! I hate it! I hate it! I hate it!
That's a quote I use to this day of something I don't like.
Just her sheer panic. I hate it! I hate it! I hate it!
Maybe I'm just merging two different games in my head or something.
Yeah. Maybe like a bust move where you shoot the balls like you have like a little wheel and it's like...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because that has some super power-ups.
Yeah.
There's like,
maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
It's basically Dr. Mario in reverse, almost.
Yeah.
Bust a move where you shoot up instead of having them fall down.
No, yeah.
Where you get to...
It's kind of a little bit of like an artillery sort of all right, so what did you think of
I think Dr. Mario is another one that I had the music on mute after a little
bit. There's two tracks
You can change the music in that one too.
It's Chill and Fever. Get it, because it's a medical game. You got it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Dr. Mario, I like music.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was kind of surprised by that.
Yeah, no, sorry. Music was good in Dr. Mario.
Awesome. All right, so what's your score for Dr. Mario?
Dr. Mario, I gave a 72.
Oh, okay. Awesome.
Yeah.
It
was a fun game.
It is fun. I enjoy playing it.
I would definitely like to try two-player on Dr. Mario.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun.
It seems like that's probably where a lot of the fun in that one is, too.
Yeah, I used to... And the thing is you can change the level ups, the levels, because, my mom's really good at Dr. Mario, and if we played on the same level, she would just annihilate me 100% of the time.
Oh, okay, so you can, like, handicap?
Yeah, like, she would do, like, level 14 on high, and I would do level 10 on medium speed.
Oh, okay, got it.
And, you know, then we'd adjust it. Like, if one of us kept winning, we'd adjust.
Right. That makes sense.
So you can, no matter how bad someone is, you can find some level where you're evenly matched.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I like that.
And then you'll get used to those sound effects of the bam, 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 which means you're about to get those stupid little happy balls that are going to ruin everything. Yeah, that's the other one. They alternate between two little jingles of death.
Like, you hear that and go, no, 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 no.
And you just know it's going to land on that stack that already has like three mismatched colors.
Yeah.
And what was the other game you were talking about where you hear the sound effect and you know you're about to die?
King's Quest 3.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. All right, so we'll move on to the final game of
Gullamafia. And speaking of Bust a Move.
Yeah, and speaking of Bust a Move, the same characters.
Yep.
Bubble Bobble.
Bubble Bobble. Bubble Bobble is definitely my favorite of the ones that we played this week.
Okay.
I really do like the puzzle-based games.
Yeah. It's kind of a mix between puzzle and platformer a little bit.
Right, right. Yeah, I guess it's not too strong on the puzzle.
No, it's more a platform, a hair bit of adventure, a little bit.
Right.
Not a whole lot of adventure, you're just in these little rooms.
Yeah, attack enemies.
I think that we had it reversed, though. I think Dr. Mario is the one that I definitely should have done. Two-player.
And you did two-player in Bubble
Bobble.
We did two-player in Bubble Bobble.
I'm going to be honest, I just wanted to play Bubble Bobble. That's why we did two-player on that.
I see.
Yeah, Bubble...
Because Bubble Bobble, the two-player mode is identical to the...
Right, it's the same thing. It's just...
It's just you have two people.
Right, there's 100 levels in Bubble Bobble.
Yeah.
So, like, it's fun, though, to just sit down with someone and try to...
And the further you go, the more thankful you are you have a second player helping you out.
Okay.
In the early levels, it's like, why do I have somebody else here? I could just do this room by myself. But then you get to, like, level 52, and you're like, oh, thank God someone else was there to get that guy before he killed me.
Yeah.
Because that was awesome. A game that me and my mom used to play all the time, Darn Little Two-Player, because I didn't want to play her in Dr. Mario. I didn't want to. She would just annihilate me no matter what the handicap was. So we played a co-op game instead of a...
I find that hard to believe, because if someone's on 20 high and you're on 0 low,
well,
you're going to win.
That's true, but
so then you just slowly adjust. There is a way to make it even, I'm telling you. Level 0 has 4 viruses.
Well, slow down. Are you telling me...
Level 0 has 3 viruses.
What?
I had one red, one yellow, and one blue.
I'm pretty sure it has 4. I think it doubles up on one of those. Played a lot of Dr. Mario.
Did you enjoy Bubble Bobble?
Yes. Back to Bubble Bobble.
I did enjoy Bubble Bobble. It was a lot of fun. I would like to... when I have the time, that's definitely one of the ones that I would like to actually try and beat all 100... levels on.
Yeah.
Because it's definitely a fun game. And it's not... I mean, obviously, I only got up to 20, so it wasn't, like, a super challenging game. Mm-hmm. In terms of, like... I don't know.
There are just certain tricks you learn that help you out through the game, like being able to stack bubbles to get up higher.
Yeah.
It's once you learn tricks like that, then you start to go, okay, this gets a little easier as it goes.
Right.
Yeah, but yeah, getting to 20 is no problem.
Yeah, that's just the first quarter of this, the first fifth of the game. That's just learning the controls, basically, is the first 20 levels.
Right. I think one thing I didn't really care for about it was it seemed like there were some blocks you could jump through and some blocks you couldn't, but there wasn't really any way of showing...
It wasn't clear which ones
were
solid.
You could always jump up onto something, but you couldn't get back down off of something.
Is that what you're thinking of? That's not true. Like, sometimes you could jump up through it, sometimes you couldn't jump up through it.
Hmm.
It might just be thicker. That's If it's like one square, you could do it, but if it was like two, then you couldn't.
Maybe.
I think that's what it was. I know what you're talking about, though.
Yeah, because I know, like, in some games they make it more clear. Like, it'll be like a cloud. You can jump up through that.
Right.
But if it's brick, you'll just hit it.
Right. I think Bubble Bobble's also the one I was thinking of where I eventually did mute the music, though.
It's
a good catchy song, but
it's the same catchy song.
It's the same 8 seconds of music.
It's true.
Repeated over and over again.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, like, it'd be one thing if it was like a whole song that just repeats every level, but it was...
No, it's the same song.
Very short loop.
Yeah, it's about 15 seconds. No, 30. Yeah, every 30 seconds the song starts over again.
Right.
And again. And again. And again. I love it, but I completely understand what you're talking about.
Good loop, but it gets old quick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so your score for Bubble Bobble.
For Bubble Bobble, I gave it a 79.
Ooh.
Oh. So,
tied with
Super Mario Brothers.
Super Mario Brothers.
The one score I can always remember.
It's a good...
it's my barometer for everything.
It's a litmus test.
Yeah.
Better or worse than Super Mario?
All right, so those are the five. Let's just recap the scores really quick.
Okay.
Donkey Kong Jr.
55.
Paperboy.
65.
Excitebike.
59.
Dr. Mario.
72.
And Bubble Wobble.
79.
All right, awesome. So,
close that text edit program now. Don't save that. All right.
So... For next time, we are going to send you, I feel like you have enough experience under your belt now for The Legend of Zelda.
Oh, yeah. He was asking me today, when am I going to get to play Zelda?
Yep.
This week.
This is it.
Now is the time when you get to play Zelda.
I asked him before the show, is this a game that I've beaten? And Matt just goes, yes. Yes, it is.
Yes, it is a Zelda. I'm gonna see if I can find it. I might want to give you the book on this one.
Okay.
Or something. I don't know. I feel like this might be really confusing to someone who's never.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's not even like later Zeldas where it's more of like...
It's really linear in the later games to where you have to go.
Well, the later Zeldas, it's also clear what everything is. There's like a town, there's a castle,
this is the Hyrule that was decimated after Ganon. So it's just a wasteland with temples. And you have to figure out
the first
one tonight. This is the very first one.
Yeah, and there's a lot of little puzzle elements to it.
Okay.
So you might be like, there is no other thing, but you have to burn a tree.
Yeah.
Down, and then there's a staircase.
The Lost Woods.
Yeah, you have to go through it a certain way.
This is all stuff that's ingrained in my memory, but for someone who's new, it'd be like, where the fuck do I go?
So...
Because I can instantly go level 1's there, level 2's there, level 3's over there, level 4's there. And oh, right. That's how I get to level 9.
And like, it doesn't tell you, like, you could go straight to level 2.
You'll probably end up finding level 4 before level 1.
Yeah, I mean, that's a possibility.
Interesting.
Part of it, too, like, they give you a map when you buy the game, but it's not completed. Like, it only has the middle area where you start.
Oh, okay.
But they have the squares there that are blank, so you can, like, draw the rest of the map as you go.
Oh, cool.
I would give you mine... But, like, I got this game from my uncle, and so the map's completely drawn. It shows where everything is. Like, that was, like, part of the game.
Oh, okay.
Was, you know, like, because it's an adventure.
Right.
And it's you finding all the stuff.
Right.
So, if you go in with that mindset, I think you'll have a lot more...
Okay.
Get a lot more enjoyment out of it as opposed to like, oh, sweet, I'm going to go in here, get a sword and kill things and like, the fuck am I doing? Where are things? What's the point to this game?
So it's definitely more about exploring and...
It's all about exploring.
Yeah.
It's an exploration game.
Got it.
100%.
And even sometimes I forget where things are and I've beaten that game about 4 or 5 times.
So I have to beat it 6 times in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Be better than Lisa.
Yes. So have fun with that.
Challenge accepted.
And then you have to beat the Master Quest, which I have not done yet.
Because I think Miyamoto said his inspiration for the game was like explorations that he had as a kid, like just through...
His imagination
yeah,
as a kid.
Cool.
So that's what it's all about. It's like, oh, what's over here? Oh, cool, there's this. And then, of course, since it's old NES graphics, it's not that cool, but...
And you said you haven't beaten the Master Quest?
Yeah, when you beat the game, you can reload the save file, and it's harder. The temples have moved around, the enemies are a little harder.
The layouts have changed.
The layout's different, so I'll be like, okay, level one, I know where level one is. This is level six. all right, let's go explore.
So there's a little bit of replay value to the game.
There is.
Yeah.
Interesting. I wonder if it reshuffles everything if you beat it again.
I don't think so. People
need to spend this 2 weeks.
All right.
The Master Quest.
All right. All right.
See if
I'll work on the Master Quest.
There's also the internet, and I'm pretty sure that would have been a known thing.
There is that. I mean, I should play it again because it's about that time for me to play Zelda again. But
your homework assignment over these 2 weeks is to beat Master Quest.
Oh God, it's so hard.
And then we can't just leave you with The Legend of Zelda.
Of course not. We need a great game of the week.
Right. And that game is Hudson Hawk.
Hudson Hawk. Yes. I imagine this will be a Contra-style game.
This will be
I am a commando-type person running around shooting things.
I think you're supposed to be... You're supposed to be a Bruce Willis type.
From the movie Hudson Hawk. This is a movie port game.
Oh, shit. You just realized that I need to do a Raising Nick Hanley for movies,
too. I think
Hudson Hawk qualifies as a, oh, shit, Nick hasn't
Nick
seen
has
movies.
Nick has to watch Hudson Hawk. I don't think you do.
This isn't Die Hard. This is fucking Hudson Hawk.
There's a huge disparity between Die Hard and Hudson Hawk.
So,
good. So if that tells you anything, it's a movie port video game.
Yeah.
About Bruce Willis.
About Hudson Hawk.
And,
Who plays Bruce Willis?
Hudson Hawk playing a young Bruce Willis. Jumps building to building. It's kind of like an infiltration game.
Okay.
Like, there's, like, cameras that you have to stay out of the sight of, and... tripwires, which you don't realize are tripwires until the first time you trigger it, and then the next time you play, you're like, okay, that's a stupid tripwire.
Okay, so this sounds like a game I'm not going to have fun playing.
And then you'll get eaten by a dog.
Kind of like Chubby Cherub.
Only they're actually eating you, not just barking the letter B at you.
Touché. Okay, so, Legend of Zelda.
Yep.
That little known game.
Followed by...
A hidden gem.
Hudson Hawk.
The world famous Hudson Hawk. The one that spawned many games after it.
And a whole movie series and action figure line and...
cartoons.
Really took Bruce Willis's career in a different direction.
So is this the infiltration game where I have to get into a cardboard box?
That's later.
It's basically the same, right?
Yes.
That's much, much later. Ocarina of Time.
All right. This has been Raising Nick Hanley. I am your host, Matt Thomas.
I am the other host, Lisa Bryan.
And Nick Hanley.
I am the Nick Hanley, Nick Handley.
Thank you for listening. Please join us next week. Goodbye now.
He is a good, a strong, a young man. You know nothing.
He is a pathetic loser, just like his father.
No, Rosa, no. The boy.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. What if I... Papa? Papa!
Junior, my lovely young boy. I am so sorry to have to leave you.
Oh, Papa!
But you must carry on my work.
I'm just a boy.
You are the paper boy. You must remember to deliver only to customers, not the non-customers.
If they are not your customer, break their window. Remember, death comes on a Tuesday. My soft, strong, handsome boy, I want to tell you. The air in your tires is as important as the love in your heart. Your paper route is like your life. There will be many obstacles.
He is a pathetic loser.
Ross, no! The boy!
Being a paper boy is like being a man. Only you are a boy. Junior, I have moved on, but I am watching you.
Papa! Papa!
This podcast is a proud member of the Spectacles Podcast Network. For more great podcasts, please visit spectaclesimprov.com.
Are you tired of listening to podcasts about things that actually happened? Then tune in to Security by Obscurity as we continue the saga of five great adventurers seeking fortune and glory in the world of Dungeons & Dragons. Plenty of role-playing and fun for anyone interested in the D&D experience. That's Security by Obscurity, available now on the iTunes Music Store.